and just say, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jehovah, this morning we want to bless your name. Daddy, we want to thank you. Oh, Lord, in all the heavens, in all the earth, who is like unto you? Who can compare to you? Lord Jesus, you are faithful. You are kind. You are the preeminent one. You are the one that was before anything was. The Bible says, through you and by you, there was nothing that was created that was created. It means everything that exists has its origin from you. You promised, you said you will be with us till the end of time. Lord, from January, you have been there for us. In February, you stood by us. In March, you lifted us up. In April, you delivered us. In May, you showed us your grace. In June, we saw your mercy. In July, you showed your perfection. In August, you gave us a new beginning. In September, you said, I am the I am that I am. In October, you said, go and I will go with you. In November, you stood there and you said, my son, it is well with you. My daughter, it is well with you. In the month of December, Lord, you said you will surprise us. Jehovah, we believe you. We believe your word. And this morning, we just say, thank you. Lord, this morning we just say, thank you. Jehovah, this morning we just say, thank you. We just want to say thank you, Jehovah. We just want to exalt your name. Because you are faithful. Because you are God. Because you are good. We bless you, mighty God. We extol your majesty. Lord, all other gods, they are the works of men. No one can compare unto you. Lord, your word tells us that every other god, they are the imagination of the hearts of their creator. They think up a god and they make an image that they believe represents that god. But Lord, you are the only living and true God. What an honor and a privilege to be called your daughter, to be called your son. Daddy, we praise you. Daddy, we glorify your name. Daddy, we adore you, O God. And Lord, this morning we just want to say, thank you, thank you, thank you, in the name of Jesus. Lord, as we look into your word of life for encouragement this morning, Jehovah, speak to us. Lord, where there needs to be a rebuke, Daddy, please feel free to rebuke us. Lord, where there is need for correction, Jehovah, correct us. Lord, where there is need for encouragement, Lord, let us receive it directly from you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, as your word goes forth, let there be healing. Let there be deliverance. Let there be settlement. In the mighty name of Jesus. You are the one that is able to turn it all around for us. That it turn it around for your glory. In the mighty name of Jesus. At the end of it all, let all the glory, all the honor, dominion, and power be unto you and you alone. In the mighty name of Jesus. If you believe it, I want you to shout a loud hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Please, before we sit down, I want us to applaud the choir as they go back to their seat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Careful, careful. Careful, careful. Hallelujah. 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 And let's put our hands together for our musicians. Brother Ayobami, Brother Isaiah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You may please be seated. It's such a good day to be in church. God is good. Oh, yes, I tell you, God is good. God is good. It is good when God gives us children, and the children love the Lord and honor the Lord. It is a good thing when a child knows how to honor God and also honor their parents. You know, I'm so proud of one of our daughters here, Sapphire. Yesterday, She had a beautiful, beautiful 50th birthday reception for her mother, Miss Sherry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Happy birthday to you again. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 The Lord will make our children responsible and worthy children. Your labor upon your children will not be in vain. Okay, since you are not convinced, my labor upon my children will not be in vain. Oh, I see, you are selfish. Don't sell fish in church. Praise the Lord. So today, being the first Sunday of the month, is our Thanksgiving Sunday. Amen. I tell you the truth, it's a good thing to give thanks. On Friday, the choir was just simply beautiful. Simply beautiful. Simply beautiful. If you were not there, you really missed. And I'm serious. You really missed. Some people didn't make the concert, but they made the food. That's okay. Because the food section was also very good. Hallelujah. Okay. I see. It means you were not there. You didn't eat the food. That's why that clap was not very serious. Because the food was just simply good. It was simply good. And somebody is in trepidation that I may call them. But that is the truth. Brother Moses Reed. You know, usually when we want to have a food kind of event like that, we're looking at the women, please help us. But we have somebody represent us on Friday. Amen, amen, amen. What a woman can do, a man can do. I didn't say that. Don't put me in trouble now. I didn't say that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, Brother Moses represented the men. Sister Kweju was there powerfully to represent the women. You know, it was just a beautiful night. I don't know everybody that cooked, but at least I saw those people bringing food in. You know, and our very own Pastor Bosse herself, the anchor, Mommy O. You know, she's kind of mellow today. You know, but we won't go there. Somebody left for Nigeria yesterday, and somebody else is mellow in San Antonio. He's coming back. It's just a week from tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Let's look into the Word of God. Please open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And we're going to read from verse 11 to 19. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers. Somebody say lepers. It's not a good thing when they begin to describe a person by their problem. See, it will suffice to say there were 10 men. But they said there were 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Verse 17, and Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. Verse 19. And he said unto them, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. May your faith make you whole. In the mighty name of Jesus. You see, the word leprosy, when we see the word leprosy, an image comes to mind if you have ever seen a leper before. A leper is not a fun person to see. In fact, a leper is not a fun person to be close by. Why? Because lepers stink. The disease of leprosy, caused by a bacteria, eats up the skin and goes to the bone and eats up the bone. And that disease leaves an open wound in the sufferers. And that open wound is producing fluid. In medicine, it's called suppurating wound. And the fluid coming from it, it dries up. It's just nasty. It's just nasty. I remember many years ago, I was going for a friend's wedding. I was the best man. It was a season of my life that I was just being best man for everybody. You know, and that was when I had to double up in prayer. And I said, Lord, I don't want to be best man for another person until I get married. When I get married, I can still be best man, but enough of this. Because it was like 3 in a row. Anyway, as we were traveling on the freeway, we were approaching a segment on the freeway, and the driver told us that we must make sure that the windows were wound up because we were going through a certain place. It was a leper's colony. The lepers in that colony, they don't have much care. So they have to come on the freeway to beg alms. Man, I almost puked. It was a terrible sight. In fact, I saw some images on the website, on the internet, of lepers that was close to the image I saw many years ago. And I thought I'd show you some images, but I said, no, it's not good. It will be too bad because some people may not be able to handle it. You know, particularly we have some pregnant people. We don't want the ushers won't like me if people start puking in church. Praise the Lord. It's a terrible disease. It's a terrible disease, and the disease eats up the person from head to their toes. As a matter of fact, as the disease progresses and continues to eat up the bones, some of the fingers become vestiges. The bones are eaten up, and what you have left is not a finger, but a stump. In fact, in some other cases, all the fingers are eaten up and part of the palm is eaten up, in fact, sometimes up to the wrist. The gait of the posture, how a leper walks, cannot be straight. A leper cannot walk the way I'm walking. A leper's walk gait is staggered. You know why? Some of the fingers, the toes are gone. The leper does not have balance. The leper walks like that. Can I tell you that in Bible days, leprosy was likened to sin? A leprous person can be considered spiritually a sinner or a sinful person. In fact, the word leprosy in itself means to strike. The word leprosy means to be smitten. The word leprosy means to receive a blow. So customarily, the Hebrews believed that anyone that has leprosy has been stricken by God or smitten by God or has received a blow from God. Friends, there are many leprous people in the church unawares. Because the same way leprosy eats up the physical body and eats up the bone is the same exact way sin is eating people up spiritually, but because it's not a physical thing, they are not aware of it. Every leprous person, the Hebrews, believe that only God can cure leprosy. You know why? Because God is the one that struck them. And the one that struck is the one that can heal. So they believed that leprosy can only be cured by God. The same thing. Only God can cure the disease of sin in the life of an individual. Many people have all kinds of self-help things that they do. Oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm never going to go there again. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. They create certain boundaries for themselves that are helpful of sort, but they always find themselves going back there. Friends, the only way not to go back there is to encounter Jesus. Can I tell you something? Jesus is in the house today. Amen. The Bible says where two or three are gathered in his name, he's present there. I don't know about you, but I know I came here to gather with Jesus. And I know I have a few friends here that came here today for the purpose of gathering with Jesus. So I know Jesus is here this morning. If you believe it, I want you to say yes. Yes. Jesus is here. So it doesn't matter where you have been. You see, in the city, they had cast them out because lepers were not allowed within the city. They were cast out of the city. But Jesus came walking by. Can I tell you something this morning? Jesus is walking by. Jesus is passing by. The Bible says when there was a storm at sea, the Bible said the disciples, they saw someone walking on water and they thought it was a ghost. That was their perspective. From the perspective of Jesus, the Bible says as Jesus was walking on water, he saw them and he would have walked past them. Did somebody catch that? He saw them, but he would have walked past them. So there are things that attract the presence of Jesus into our lives. So even though Jesus is passing by today, is walking by, he's going to be walking to some people and walking past some people. Why don't you lift up your hands to heaven this morning and say, Lord Jesus, as you pass by today, don't pass me by. In the name of Jesus, I invite you. Come to me, Lord. Come to me, Lord Jesus, the great deliverer, the healer, in the name of Jesus. Come to me, mighty God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus is in the house today. Is he walking to you or is he walking past you? Because you have prayed, I believe he will not pass you by. In the mighty name of Jesus. Friends, every soul needs Jesus. The problem with us is that many of us are like physical lepers. Until something is identified, we don't change behavior. So until somebody catches you, and then you are shaking, and then you say, oh, I'm sorry. If you are only sorry because you are caught, you are not sorry. Now is the time to make a decision and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life and take me over. You will notice in the text that we have read, Jesus did not see them. Did you notice that? Jesus did not see them. The Bible says they were standing afar off, and they raised up their voice, and they cried unto Jesus, and they presented themselves unto Jesus. They stood afar off, and they cried, Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. I hope there's somebody crying this morning, that Jesus, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Friends, the year is coming to a close. One of the prayers that I pray for myself is that, Lord, I don't want to live a long, useless life. The Bible says, Lazarus, the poor man, the beggar, at the gate of the rich man, died, and the rich man also died. They both went to a final place, one to heaven and one to hell. What that tells us is there is a consciousness that by which we must live life, a consciousness of two eternal destinations. We must, as believers, live in the awareness of two eternal destinations. It means everybody that is living, when they die, they are not going to the same place. Amen? Amen? Say amen now.
Amen.
Yes. It's not a prayer. It's just that I want you to agree that you know, and if you don't, believe me, it is the truth. There is two eternal destinations. What we do here and now determines that ultimate destination where we're going. Everybody say money is good. It is. This package costs money. Hope now you'll agree. It costs money. This environment, it costs money. You know? The fact that the rich man went to hell does not mean rich people go to hell. There will be rich people in heaven. In fact, some people will be sorry for themselves when they get to heaven. Ah, so I could have been rich as well. Yeah. There's no crime in being comfortable. Amen? How many people have driven really old? Thank you, sir. Thank you for helping me. I used to drive a car. It was my first car that I bought with my own money. When I'm driving at night, the birds are scared. Because my headlamp is facing the trees. You know, so once I show up, the birds scatter. They wake up from their dreams. I praise the Lord. So when I told my wife, after I got here, you know, and God began to bless us and buying, you know, not jalopies now, you know, nice cars that I can drive at night, I can see the road, you know, I'll tell her, I say, babe, I'm thankful for these headlamps. She'll be like, what? I am grateful for this headlamp. I can see the road. There's a vehicle coming on the opposite side, and I'm not squinting and slowing down. So I'm gauging the road. You know, you have to gauge it mentally. You can't see where you're going. You just mentally gauge it and say, just stay in the narrow path. Friends, money is good. But money is not everything. It does not require wealth to access heaven. Many people have compromised their faith because of dollar. Because I must have the dollar. Whatever it takes, I must do it. Friends, I pray you don't lose your salvation. That's my prayer for us. These 10 lepers, broken and busted, cried out to the master. And one thing I want to assure you this morning is the Bible says, everyone that calls upon him shall be saved. He will by no means cast them out. Amen? The problem with us today is the church is growing increasingly away from the owner of the church. This is the illustration one of my daughters gave me. She said, we're talking about repentance, and she said, Daddy, is like a bridge. He said, the bridge, when you are repentant, the bridge is short, so you can see the face of God. He said, but when you are sinful and you don't repent, he said, she said, the bridge becomes extended. The bridge is extended. The bridge is extended. I said, wow. I told them I'll give disclaimers for the part that is them and the part that is me in this sermon. You know, she said, the bridge is extended. And I thought about it. I said, how true? How true? Do you know when you begin to sin, there is this anguish within you because your heart is still close to the heart of God. You feel bad. The more you refuse to repent, God is farther away. You can't see his face any longer. Because when you see the disgust in God's face because of what you have done, you repent. When you, the farther away, I can't see, I see Brother Charles in the back, but I can't see his face. If he's happy or angry, I can't tell. And so I can choose to do whatever I like from this side. She said, that is what repentance is. That is what repentance is. Many people, their hearts have strayed away from God. They are so far from him, they don't know what he feels anymore. So if they make him sad, they cannot repent of making him sad because they don't even know that he's sad. Praise the Lord. But when you are close, and I can see that, oh, my actions are making Alexis sad. And I love Alexis. She's my daughter. I love her very much. I don't want to make her sad. I want to enhance her. I want to enable her that she can be better in life. If there are words that I'm saying that are damaging to her, and I say the words, I look at her face, I say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I repent. But if I was so far away, suppose I was out there, I was gossiping about her, and I'm speaking same words, can I see the expression on her face? No. Can I repent of what I've done? No, because I'm so far away from her. Many people are able to continue in a lifestyle of sin because they are distant from God. The distance I'm talking about is not physical distance and proximity. Do you understand what I'm saying? When God showed up in the Garden of Eden and said, Adam, where art thou? He's not asking about a physical location. He's saying, where are you relative to me? That's the question he was asking him. It was not anything about where is your location. Why? Because God is omnipresent. He's everywhere, every time. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He was not confused. He was not looking for Adam. Adam, are you hiding under the table? Are you under? No. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying, where are you? Where is your heart in relation to me, your God? That was the question he was asking him. Every heart that is separated from God will find repentance very difficult, if not impossible. In fact, if you present to that person what has been done, they will tell you, and so, say, what do you mean, Anso? Say, Anso, everybody's doing it. This is America. Get with it, Pastor. Say, no. You cannot live a life of fornication. Say, Anso? Say, everybody's doing it. You can't be living together, man and woman, if you are not married. Say, Anso? Everybody's doing it. It's cheaper. It's cheaper. And now we can pull resources together to pay the bills. Instead of having two locations, we just have one location and enjoy the other benefits that come with it. God is saying this morning, where art thou? If you are the type that writes, put it in your note. God is asking you, where are you? Where are you? Remember, these lepers, Jesus did not see them himself. The Bible says, verse 12, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar. And they, the lepers, lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Is that your Bible? And Jesus responded to them, I have good news for you today. For as many as we call him today, he will save them. He will, he will. You know, the Bible tells us, Hebrews 13 verse 8, it said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What that is saying to us is very simple. Whatever he did before, he can do it again. Hallelujah. Whatever he did before, he can do it again. One of the things that hardens the heart is ingratitude. Amen. One of the things that makes the heart hard, difficult, impenetrable is ingratitude. Have you noticed how sometimes there's a situation and you are recalling what A did for B, and B is like, what did she do? What did she do? She gave me a car, so what? Is she the first person that will give somebody a car? Okay, I stayed with you for 6 months when I didn't have a house. And so what? Yeah, okay, I didn't have money. You gave me $1,000. Does that make me your slave? And so, ingratitude. Listen to this. Listen, do I have your attention? Listen close. When we examine these 10 folks, and I'm going to be wrapping up very shortly, the Bible says they all lifted up their voice and cried unto Jesus. Jesus passed through Samaria and Galilee on his way to Jerusalem, and somewhere in between, he saw these 10 men. What I have seen is that problems, trouble, does not know color, does not know gender, does not know political affiliation. When people are in trouble and they have common trouble, they come together. The Bible tells us that the one that came back was a Samaritan. The Jews and Samaritans don't get along, but they have common problem. They have a common enemy. They agreed on that one. You are a leper. You say, I didn't include myself in their equation. You know, so all the lepers, they came together. Whether you are a Jew or Samaritan, it really doesn't matter. Let's come together and solve this problem. Friends, God will raise help for you. I say, God will raise help for you. Many of us, the help God has given to us, we have rejected. Because the help did not come in the package that we would like. You know, a lot of times, God will use the children to talk to us. Well, he says, what do you know? Please be quiet. The adults are talking, you are talking. Shut your mouth. A prophet of God, it took a donkey to speak to him before he would hear. God told him, don't go. He said, I will go. God tried and tried and tried. Nothing. He wouldn't listen. Until God sent an angel to go and stand in front of his donkey. And donkey saw angel. Donkey said, I'm not going forward. This one that is before me is the main. I've never seen it. The donkey refused to move. He hit the donkey, did everything. The donkey will not move. Then God opened the mouth of the donkey. And then the donkey turned. I wish we have really imaginative minds. Just picture this. The donkey turned around and said, why are you hitting me this many times? Listen. And he responded. He answered the donkey back. He said, because he wouldn't move forward. Crazy man. That's a real wacko. He's having a conversation. At that point is when you are supposed to jump off the donkey and run back home. Say, what? Did this donkey just speak to me? He was having a dialogue with the donkey with his hard heart. Friends, there is help around you right now as I speak. Your prayer this morning is, Lord, open my eyes of understanding. Lord, let me see those things that you have freely given unto me already, that I may begin to walk in your plan and purpose for my life. For some of you, God is speaking to you even right now. There are people that God is rebuking and encouraging right now as I speak. So the real question is, will you take the encouragement and or the rebuke of the Lord? It's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. So these 10 lepers, they gathered together and they helped one another. And one thing that is also common to them is that they all had faith. Somebody say faith. They had faith. The Bible says, as soon as they cried unto Jesus, and Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. You have to be crazy to go show yourself to the priest in the state they were. I'm telling you the honest truth. They were all mangled up. The thin water dripping, and they are going like that. And they will stone them to death if they enter the city like that. But they had confidence in the word of the Messiah. Do you believe the word of the Messiah? His word to you today is peace and comfort. Amen. His word to you today is repentance and a change of heart. Do you believe the word of the Master? The Bible says immediately the Master spoke to them, they started walking. They were just going. And as they were going, in their obedience, they received their miracle. You see, many of us today, you say, I need to see the proof before I move. If I don't see it, I'm sorry, ain't going nowhere. And that is why we don't see great things happen. You understand what I'm saying? They believed the word of the Savior. They believed the word of the Master, and they acted upon it. Friends, I have seen that obedience is a proof of belief. If you believe, you will act on it. How many people want lottery visa to come to the United States? I know some people want it. Lottery visa. Nobody? Oh, behind me. Okay, I need to move forward. Please raise your hand. Do you know, please put your hand down. Do you know that when they were announcing the lottery visa, some people didn't believe it? I did it. I didn't believe. So I never applied. I said, oh, no, that all those things is all lies. It's all lies. And then when they started it, all of a sudden agencies opened. We can help you file. We can help you apply. We can help you this. I said, oh, these 419 people. No, I ain't going to do that. No, they're just going to eat your money. All right? Many people had the information but did not act upon it. You know why? Unbelief. The proof of your belief is your obedience. If you are able to act upon what you have claimed to have believed, that is how we know that you truly have believed. They acted upon it. And the scripture tells us that as they acted upon it, they received their cleansing. I think people are cold. I see people putting shawl, blanket, and the way they are looking at us, we're enjoying you. It's just that. So, ushers, please help us out. But maybe it's because I'm moving and jumping. I'm sweating. Do you understand what I'm saying? Belief is very key to our life. They acted on what the Master had said, and they reaped the reward of it. But something happened. It's kind of like the story of the 10 virgins. The Bible says 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. In this case, the majority was wrong. They received their healing and they kept going. But one said, hold on. Something changed. Something changed. So I'm no longer bleeding. The stuff is not coming out anymore. I have been healed. The Bible says he turned back and with a loud voice, he gave glory to God. How many of us today believe we are self-made? Don't raise your hand. How many of us today believe we are self-sustaining? How many of us believe that what we have today, we have gotten because of our abilities? Oh, I'm very smart. Oh, I studied very hard and I passed. I worked very hard for this license and I ain't gonna play with anybody with it. I worked very hard for this money. I'm not going to give anybody 10%, 1%, 5%. I don't care what you say. Because I worked hard for this money. You see, the very fact that you are not able to pay the tithe that belongs to God is the very proof of the fact that you believe you have earned the money for yourself by yourself. Because the tenth that you give back to God is a proof to God that, Lord, I have recognized that not by power, nor by might, but by your spirit and by your grace have I gotten everything that I have gotten. And therefore, I honor you, Lord. Nine of them went on, one came back to give thanks. You see, if we don't put things in perspective, we lose sight of what is being talked about. So one came back to give thanks. How does that relate to me? The way it relates to you is that your action is proving your gratitude or ingratitude. The things we do, how we respond, how we relate with the truth is a description of what we have believed. It's a proof of what we have believed. I have a few points here. Why did they not give thanks? Why did they not give thanks? I'm going to go through this very quickly. And I'm going to make a disclaimer here. This was a collective effort on the 8 points that I'm going to give to you. The children, my children, contributed most of these things. And it made a lot of sense to me. And mom. Huh? Listen. One of them said they probably did not give thanks because they were not taught to give thanks. If you have not been taught, it will not be a natural thing for you to do. If you have always had to struggle for things and everybody fights for it and the one that gets it is a victor, then you won't come back to say thank you. Some people have not been taught, but we have been taught. In fact, if we had not been taught before, we are being taught right now. One of them said, they didn't come back to give thanks because they did not appreciate the gift. So sometimes when I don't say thank you, it could mean that $100, big deal. I've received $5,000 before. So what's your $100 to me? It's nothing to me. So I don't feel I need to say thank you. Someone said, they are too excited to remember to give thanks. They forgot their manners. Actually, this is my original statement. But because they have had me preach on this before, so they are quoting my sermon. You know what I'm saying? So even though it's them, it's still me. Because, yeah? You with me? Listen to this. Can you imagine this? Imagine this. I'm just going to take a moment on this real quick. So they're walking. Don't forget, these guys have been lepers who knows how long? Maybe 10 years? Let's say 15 years. Okay, we're fine. Let's just say 15 years. They've been banished from the city. And the master speaks to them. He said, go show yourselves to the priest. What that means to them, to the somebody from that culture, go show yourself to the priest, it means healing. It means I've been healed. Because after you have been healed, you now go to present yourself to the priest, and then they do a cleansing ceremony for you, and then you can go back into the society. So when he said that to them, the first thing that registers in their mind is healing has come. So check this out. So they're going, they're marching, and probably with trepidation in their heart that if we show up, they are going to stone us. If we show up, they are going to kill us. If we show up, what's going to happen? And as they are going, healed. They're so excited. They're running to the priest. Now they are not walking. They are running to the priest for their cleansing. And as they are going on the way, one of them sees his cousin. Is this you? It is me. I am healed. And then they are going. Another one sees his nephew. Is this you? It is me. And as they are going, sees his mother. They see their family members. In fact, maybe one of them was even married because of leprosy. They bounced him out of town. He sees his wife. He says, hold on for me. Let me go do this cleansing ceremony. Go home right now and go get ready. Make the food. I'm coming. Do you understand what I'm saying? They were too excited to think of Thanksgiving. Does that not happen to you? That somebody has not knew. They gave you the hint. They told you where to go. You go, you went there to check it out. You checked it out. It turned out like they said. It's the first thing you do call to say, oh, thank you for the information, by the way. No, you relish the success. That's what you do. And that's what they did. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it so that you can see yourself in their story. Friends, what God has done for us, He alone deserves the glory. He alone deserves the praise. He alone deserves the thanksgiving. Someone said they take it for granted. The things we take for granted, we don't feel a need to give thanks on it. It's not a big deal. We had a 50th birthday celebration yesterday. You know why? Because she's thankful for life. Some people will say age is just a number. Age tells you that God has kept you for a particular number of years. Some don't give thanks because they feel they are entitled to it. You have just given me what is mine. Why should I thank you? Some don't give thanks because they are prideful. Some just simply forget. And others are preoccupied with other things. The next thing. Thank you so much. You know how you have a situation right now. It's your mortgage. Your mortgage needed to be paid. And you are saying, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, make a way. And then He makes a way. Mortgage is paid. Once mortgage is paid, you say, oh, my car note is paid. Oh, my next installment on my school fees is due. If it's not one thing, it's another. We forget. We move on to other things. Why don't you rise to your feet this morning and say, Lord, here I am to worship. Here I am to give thanks. Here I am with a grateful heart to show my appreciation unto you, Lord, because you have been good to me. You've been good to me. Do it without the music. Musicians can come, that's fine, but you do it unto the Lord. Say, Lord, I am grateful. That one leper that came, the Bible says he lifted up his voice and gave glory to God. Are you grateful this afternoon? You're grateful to God for your life, for all He's done for you, for how far He has brought you, for where you are today, that you are alive, you have hope in Christ Jesus. There is real hope. There is real joy. Give Him praise, give Him praise, give Him praise, give Him praise, give Him praise. Give Him praise, give Him praise, give Him praise. Jesus is coming your way, is walking towards you. He's walking towards you. Forget about any situation at this time. This is not the time to worry about this or worry about that. This is time to acknowledge the Lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ in our lives and honor Him. Give Him glory. Give Him glory. Give Him praise. Honor Him. Adore Him. Exalt His name on high, for He alone is worthy. For you alone not worthy, for you are I'm done, and I'm going to hand over the microphone in a few minutes. But listen to this. Yesterday, I was in my office, and somebody sent me a text and said, "Pastor, may I have a quick word with you before you start the workers' training?" I said, "Absolutely, no problem. Come right back." And the individual came and told me and said, "Pastor, when I came to this country a few years ago, I made a commitment to God. I said, God, if you can help me to accomplish this goal that every odd is stacked against me, if I accomplish this one goal, I make two promises to you. Number one, the first check I get from this thing that I'm asking for you to do, I'm going to give it to you as my way of saying thank you." He said, "And before I came to this country, God laid it on my heart. I don't pay 10% in tithe. I pay 20. And I said to God, I said, God, if you can do this one thing for me, I will change my tithe from 20% to 30%. He said, "Pastor, I am here today to give thanks to the Lord. God has done it for me. Against every order, I had nobody to help me, but God was there for me to help me. I am not so excited that I have accomplished, but I want to acknowledge God and thank God." It's been so long, it's been maybe 4 or 5 years, but the individual didn't forget. He said, "The God that I promised to, that if you would do this one thing for me," and he has done it, "I have come to give him thanks today." I want you to bow your head. Close your eyes. What promises have you made in the past that you have forgotten about? When you needed it desperately and you were making promises, "Lord, if you do this for me, I will do that for you." The Bible says it is better not to vow than to vow and not fulfill the vow. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The Bible says he will bring to your remembrance. Whatever you are remembering now that you have failed to do, say, "Lord, I'm sorry." Repent. Confess it and repent of it. Confess it and repent of it. And say, "Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me." It could be a sinful lifestyle. You say, "Lord, I will never go back to my vomit." But you have gone back. You have gone back. Whatever it is, say, "Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy." You are plenteous in mercy. That is what your word says. I believe your word. "Lord, have mercy on me in the mighty name of Jesus. Have mercy on me." Go back and pay your vow in Jesus' name.